I would like maybe to go to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. I can't remember if we read much of this or not. Maybe we didn't. If we did, bear with me. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And we want to begin reading in the 27th verse. It says, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." So, we are going to be specific, particular members of the body of Christ. We spent quite a bit of time this morning talking about the body being a spiritual body, the church being a spiritual church, the kingdom being a spiritual kingdom, the family of God being a spiritual family. And he says, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." So, I trust that we have a vision of there being a spiritual church, and that we as individuals can be individual components of that church, of that body. He says, "And God set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues." And then he asks these questions to provoke some thought. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Have all the gift of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Well, the implied answer to that is no, they're not all those things. They're individual members in particular. It includes the whole melody, if you will, of different components and different members of the body to make one functioning body, spiritual church in the world. It says, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet shew I unto you a more excellent way." So covet is a real strong word. A lot of times we use it in a negative context where someone is coveting something that they shouldn't. But he says here that we ought to covet earnestly the best gifts. I believe that we ought to have a real strong desire to find our place in the body of Christ. Alright? This spiritual body, this spiritual church. It includes what you can contribute by the grace of God. What you can add to, what not something of yourself, but the distinct attribute that you can add that would be a blessing to the whole body. It's hard for me to taste food and distinguish what the cooks put into it. Now, some people can taste food and say, well, that's got, and name off some of the spices that they think is in there. And I don't even know. I just make a determination whether I like it or not. And that's about to the extent of my expertise. I might be able to tell you, well, I think this has too much salt in it. Or I think this has got too much cayenne pepper in it. I know cayenne pepper makes stuff hot. But, you know, outside of that, I'm just not very good at it. But, you know, I know that all those little bottles in the cabinet up there in my wife's kitchen, they have a distinct purpose. And the inclusiveness of the church, I want us to think about all of those different little flavors that's in there, in the cabinet at the house, and how that each one of us, we may not feel like we add very much. And the enemy wants us to feel insignificant and incapable. He doesn't want us to try to put ourselves in a place where we contribute anything. He would like for us to just feel like, well, the best you can do is just show up and keep that spot on the bench warm. And no, we're not talking. The church is a spiritual thing, you see. It's not these pews. It's not this structure. It is something that we can be a vibrant part to. Maybe we're not the biggest baked potato on the meal, so to speak, but we can add some flavor to it. We can add something that is tasty, and something that the whole idea is this would look appetizing to the world around us. All right? So the inclusiveness of the church includes all of our distinct, unique characteristics. All right? So I want us to look now a little bit beyond just the individual components here, and look at let's read a scripture. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, and notice what is said here. Maybe the first verse beginning. It says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So he's writing to someone at a distance. Maybe he has personal acquaintance. We like to think that he does. And he says, unto the church of God. So when he says church of God, we believe that he is writing to not just a man-made organization, but he is writing to the spiritual church of God. He's writing to the ones that would be in a specific location, though. All right? So he's writing to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. He's talking to those that have not only come to the Lord to be, have the bondage of sins severed, but they have come to the Lord to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So he says, to them that are sanctified, and he gives a specific location. We refer to the congregation here as the Church of God at Webb City, or the Webb City Association, or I don't know, whatever kind of. But it's an identifier that tells us others we're coming from as far as a physical location. But that physical location is not it's not confining to the church. It includes this part. It includes us here by the grace of God. We have a serious requirement for all of us to meet the conditions to keep us to be part of the body. That's a serious obligation that we have. But our obligation is more than being here. You know, it'd be nice to be able to put some serious pressure on people to be here, so that maybe we could fill up the pews. You know, it'd be, I say it'd be nice, I think it would be. You know, I think it would be nice to be able to say, well, you have an obligation. You know, we're having church, and you know, you ought to be there. And maybe we could even say, you ought to be ashamed if you're not there. You know, just really put some guilt on some people. Well, it's more important. I want us to get a hold of this. It's more important for us to really be there in our spirits and in our souls. You know, this is the thing I found, that if we're really there in our spirits, we want to be where the people of God are. We want to come together. We want to be assimilated to where we can empty vessel to vessel, so to speak, where we can be a blessing to one another, so I can add the distinct little flavor that God has blessed me with, or you with, to help one another. So he's writing here to someone, a group of people that was at Corinth. Now, I want to go a little further. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter. And the first verse, 1 Thessalonians 1 and 1. It says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So, same writer, basically, Paul. He's including some others in the authorship of what he's putting out. And he's writing to the church at a different location. Is he writing to the same church? I believe he is. Is it the same individuals? Most likely not. But he's writing to the same church. I believe there is a uniform belief system here. I believe that there's a congruent spirit with the folks that he was writing to before, or the ones he intended to get the message to. So here he's writing to the church, which is in God. It's not the church that's under the authority of whatever, a group of men, one man, whatever. We're writing to the church which is in God, the church of God, if you will. So, but it is inclusive of those that were in Thessalonica. I believe it's inclusive of those that might be in any specific location. It says some of the same things in the first of 2 Thessalonians. We won't necessarily go and read there. I want us to think about the importance of seeing how that the church of God includes all the saved that are around us, okay? But there's something else I want us to dwell on. I want to go pick up a scripture that I think's in Revelations. I didn't write this down. But he's talking about those that would be saved. And he talks about the 17th verse of the 22nd chapter. Maybe we'll start in the 16th verse. He says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel, I believe that would be his minister, to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Who's the bride? The church. The Spirit is the Spirit of God. It says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. So there's an invitation to all mankind, I believe, to come and partake, to come and you are invited to come and be part of this spiritual kingdom that Jesus told Nicodemus. You can't see it until you're born again. You can't fully understand this. It's part of the body that's fitly framed together, the spiritual body. It's part of the spiritual church. You're invited, whoever you are out there in the world, you're invited to come. The Spirit of God and the angel, those that might bring the message to you, and the bride, the Spirit and the bride are inviting you to come and be. So it's a invitation to all mankind. And I want us to realize that although it is an invitation to all mankind, I believe there are those that might not be aware of this location, but be in our vicinity that are living to all that they know and understand. I believe that's a possibility. But I believe that God puts a desire in all truly saved, sanctified people to want to come, to want to assimilate together. All right? In Amos, I believe it is, 3:3. Let's turn and look over there in the Old Testament. He says something here that's important for us. He says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Do you know what God wants to do in the hearts of mankind? He wants to work a work in there where we can walk together and see eye to eye spiritually. Now, you may have a different opinion about some temporal things, and you know, I believe God has a grace and He has an ability to help us know how to work together in our everyday lives. And I believe He can help us come together to spiritual understandings too. But He says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? And you know, I can't accept that God doesn't have a gospel powerful enough to help us come to the place that there can be agreement. All right? So I'm going to try to wrap up our little thought about the inclusiveness of the church, but I want to set the stage for the exclusiveness of the church. All right? So I believe the church is inclusive with all of my heart. I believe that the church is inclusive of all of those that are genuinely, sincerely saved. No matter what their background is, doesn't matter if they're from Corinth or from Thessalonica, doesn't matter if they're from Webb City or from any other location on the map. I believe that the Lord wants us as a spiritual bride, as a spiritual body, to work together, to see eye to eye, to be able to fellowship in a very close manner. All right? I believe that the Lord intends for His true people to assimilate closer and closer together. There are things that keep people apart. And I believe God would want us to be able to discern the right and the wrong, and us to be able to come to a place, if we hold something that shouldn't be held, that we ought to make the change to where we can hold the truth in whatever it might be. And others the same way. There's been a message that's been preached, not just a specific message, but a message in general that has been preached. And what we know, it says on our songbooks, evening light songs. We believe that we live in the evening light dispensation, the evening light time. The scripture in Zechariah 14 is where we get that from. And if we believe that, if we believe, there's a message to come out from amongst confusion, to separate ourselves, to worship the Lord in truth and in spirit. The scripture says those that worship the Lord should worship them in spirit and truth. And I believe we ought to do that. And I believe God wants everyone to do that, that names the name of Christ. And I believe that the church of God is more than an ambiguous, invisible, loose-knit thing floating around out there where people say, well, I must be part of that. It's more than that. I believe that the inclusiveness of the church of God will cause those that really have a desire to begin to come to a place they realize they must step away from the things that separate true Christians from one another. All right? So I believe the church of God ends up being exclusive as well as inclusive. All right? In 1 Timothy, I'd like to read this verse and maybe in closing. In 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, the 5th verse is talking about those that would be a bishop, a spiritual leader. He says, for if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? So there's a level of responsibility that he expects men to take, not a place of dictation or authority, but there's a place of leadership the Lord expects us to take. And he goes on down in the 15th verse, he says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. I want us to get a picture of ourselves working towards a point where we learn how to behave ourselves in the church of God. Learn how to be the contributing part that we ought to. Learn how to separate ourselves from the things. Let's go back and notice here the scripture in 2 Timothy 2 that we read this morning, 2 Timothy 2 and 19, where he says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every man, one that nameth the name of Christ, depart from iniquity. The things that are iniquity are the things that are unlike God. And Lord, help us to be able and willing to depart from those things and be able to be part of a, not a obscure, ambiguous church of God, but a distinct, visible body in our world today. So when we go from realizing that God... You know, I made this statement here a while back in church that there's some people out there, there's a name for them, that ascribe to a philosophy that they believe that everyone is going to heaven. Well, I'm certain that that's a wrong philosophy, all right? I believe the Scripture supports that. I believe there's going to be some very sad individuals that realize that they're not going to ultimately end up there. They're going to ultimately end up in a place of eternal punishment because they denied the Lord. So, I believe if we can get beyond our perspective that the church of God is something that's just kind of floating around out there in the spiritual realm that's like some kind of network. We have all these, you know, the network of the internet seems to connect everybody everywhere. And you got to be careful on what you click on. You don't know who you're connecting to. Well, I think the church of God, it reaches out to anyone that is truly willing. And it includes everyone. But the Lord wants more than that. He wants us to be a distinct, visible body. So it goes from, it is inclusive. It does include all of those little remote individuals. But it becomes a unified exclusive that is separate from all the religions of man. And that's where I want to go next, but not tonight. I want us to get a hold of that the church, it is inclusive. It embraces everyone that sincerely has a desire to please Him. But He wants us. And He wants them, He wants everyone that is truly sincere to become part of a distinct, visible body that the world around us can see. Something to be a real, not just a little. I know that if you're a candle in a dark corner, it seems like you put out a lot of light. But the Lord wants more than that, I believe. I really believe He wants more than that. He wants us to be together, to be a real beacon for the world around us. You pray for me.